From the deepest ocean to the jagged peaks of the world's highest mountains, get ready for an adventure into the wonder and excitement that is our planet. This week, put on your snowshoes and get ready to run across Antarctica. Then we're celebrating the year of the gorilla. And finally, it's a race for resources under the melting Arctic ice. From the Salem Radio Network, this is National Geographic Weekend. Welcome to the show, everybody. This is National Geographic Weekend. I'm Boyd Mattson. All right, I got a riddle for you. What takes 33 days, 23 hours, and 55 minutes? Well, that's how long it takes you to realize that you've made a big mistake. And that's how long it takes you to get out of the mistake if you were trying to get to the South Pole from the coast. We are joined by Ray Zahab, who did that in that time, which was a world record. Welcome to the show, Ray.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, we're great here, and have you thawed out?
Oh, well, you know what? I live in Canada, so I've got lots of time to do that, don't I?
Yeah. Well, no wonder you would pick something cold to do in the extreme.
Well, I needed to find something to offset the Sahara expedition. You know what? You run across the Sahara Desert, what would be the next sensible thing? Well, let's go to another desert, but the exact opposite climate, you know?
Ray is one of three guys. We talked to Charlie Engel a few times on this show. There were three guys that ran across the entire length of the Sahara Desert. That's all the way from Morocco to Egypt, 4,300 miles. That was taking the extreme to the extreme, I guess.
You know, it really was. Actually, it was Senegal we started in and finishing in Egypt, as you say. And, I mean, you know, six countries.
You hit every country that had the desert in it.
Every country. Okay, so look at, we were through Senegal, Mauritania, Mali, Niger, Libya, and Egypt.
Wow. Well, Ray does extreme adventures, and he actually has an organization that I think you could not have a better title for, called Impossible to Possible. You take impossible challenges and prove that they are possible, and this is to inspire young kids, so they follow along on these. The most recent was this world record time. You broke the record by 5 days. This is faster than Mark Spitz in a new bathing suit can break a record. And you were going from sea level to the geographic South Pole in Antarctica. And you were doing it. Other guys were skiing, but you were snowshoes and crampons.
Exactly. I mean, you know, I went with two other guys. This was a team of three of us together traveling on the ice. And essentially, each one of us dragged, you know, an equal weight of gear. We started out, our sleds weighed something like 175 to 180 pounds at the start. And as, of course, you know, we're starting at sea level and we're going to the geographic South Pole, which sits at something like 10,000 feet. So you're slogging uphill the entire way. Now, from 80 to 85 degrees, it was very hard packed. And so me on snowshoes or on crampons, I actually sometimes had an advantage over my partners on their skis. But then once we got into those higher latitudes, the snow would get deeper. And, of course, then I realized what a superior form of snow travel skiing was.
By the way, 85 degrees is not the temperature, folks. That is the latitude.
That's the latitude.
But you're Canadian, Ray. So you should be able to do this on snowshoes or skis. Or ice skates. You could have skated there.
I know what gives, eh? You know, the thing is this. The two guys, my two partners, one of them has been a buddy of mine for years and years. His name's Richard Weber, and he is probably the greatest polar explorer alive and one of the best skiers in Canada, I'd have to say. And Kevin Vallely, and equal to Richard's, actually. And so my buddies were tremendous skiers, and I was not about to make myself look the fool and not be able to catch up and keep up on skis. So I decided that if I had a chance, it was going to be on these 2 feet, you know?
you didn't run. You can't run it.
So. No, I mean, you know what? I ran very small amounts when we were going downhill, and I could get some glide with my sled, and, you know, because, of course, we're going up and down and up and down. So when occasionally I could take a few little steps, I would, and because it would save me time. I mean, each time you glide away on a ski, you get much further than you do in a footstep.
So they must have been looking back going, can you hurry it up?
Yeah, you know, it depends. I mean, sometimes in the deeper snow, I would actually break trail with my snowshoes, you know, and it would make for easy travel sometimes, or easier travel. But, yeah, you know what? It was amazing. And as we were communicating with these 3,000 kids a day, which we did on this expedition in these classrooms, we get questions like, hey, do the teammates ever get split up? Or, you know, when the snow gets deep, do you guys share the load? And the fact of the matter was, it was the funniest thing, because it was the one thing, although we were totally supportive of each other and we laughed the entire way, nobody was going to drag anybody else's stuff. So you always had sleds that were notoriously accurately split evenly.
We're talking with Ray Zahab here on National Geographic Weekend. I guess we could call you extreme marathoner, and it doesn't matter the surface, from desert to snow to ice. Most recently setting the speed record going to the geographic South Pole. And that distance was a little over 700 miles, by the way. And it took you 5 minutes less than 34 days. And because of the time of year you're doing it, you get a lot of daylight there. Did you go, 10 hours, 15 hours a day?
Yeah, you know what? 24 hours of daylight, the sun circling the sky, and our longest day we did 30 nautical. So to give you an idea, that's about 55 kilometers. That's an incredibly long distance in polar travel. And that was bookended by another 24 nautical days. So very long days. That took us 20 hours. So we had some real long days out there, but, you know, our spirits were always, buoyant, because these young people that we were communicating with, I mean, these kids were asking such brilliant questions, and they were sort of sharing with us and inspiring us. We were being inspired by them through their questions and through their interaction with us on this live website we created. So we were totally pumped up the entire time, and we wanted to show them that we could get out there and throw out another day that would be a big mileage day. So when spirits were high, we could really cover a lot of mileage. Now, in conditions such as whiteouts, which are akin to you taking a cloud and duct taping it around your head. That's what I've said to people before. I mean, in these whiteout conditions, you couldn't see ground for sky. You were much, much slower. And the worst day we had was about 6 nautical miles. And we just simply could not move forward.
Well, Antarctica is famous for its katabatic winds that just come howling down from the center and just run down the continent right out to the ocean. And when you can't see where you're going, you've got your GPS that's going to lead you, I guess, to the South Pole, but you can't see where you're stepping. It's not just a matter of direction, because the ice is uneven, and there are ridges and there are crevasses in places.
Crevasses, yes. My sled actually went through a crevasse near the beginning of the expedition. That's where the majority of the crevasses are, at the beginning of the expedition at these lower latitudes. And my sled actually went into a crevasse and almost pulled me in with it. That was kind of a scary situation. But Kevin Vallely has done numerous expeditions, and of course he was sort of our quote-unquote crevasse expert, and he led the way. And we negotiated, some terrible crevasse sections, On the GPS, interesting point, we were doing this expedition, quote-unquote, as greenly as we could, as part of sort of a science experiment that we were doing with these kids as well in these schools. So almost all of our electronic equipment was charged by solar panels. So instead of bringing a GPS for consistent usage, we brought a GPS with one set of batteries that would be used to verify our point. So we used a compass the entire way to get to the South Pole.
Which way does the compass point, by the way, in the South Pole?
You know, we had an international compass, and so it was pointing south. We were heading south.
<All right. laughs> That's what you want to know. We're talking with Ray Zahab here on National Geographic Weekend about his expedition to the South Pole, in which he did in a record-breaking time. And he did it walking on crampons and snowshoeing. It's cold, and you're working hard, but the cold demands even more calories. So you have to eat more than you would running across the Sahara. So what do you carry? What do you eat? And do you get enough calories, or do you just lose a ton of weight in a month?
Well, it's an interesting, that's an interesting question. We do lose a ton of weight. I mean, with Sahara, we lost a ton also. I normally weigh about 150 pounds. In the Sahara expedition, I started out at 162 because I knew I would lose weight, and I finished at 119. Now, with the South Pole expedition, the weight loss wasn't as dramatic, but it was still significant. I lost something like 30 pounds, but we were eating upwards of 7,000 to 8,000 calories a day, relying on foods such as pemmican, which is a mix of nuts, berries, fat such as duck fat. We were eating pure fats like butter. So we were always either drinking calories or eating, high calorie.
Well, you could have just drug a seal along behind you and carved off a little piece of blubber to eat.
Yeah, I'm sure that would have been really great.
Oh, forget it. I guess that's not eco-friendly. We're going to take a short break, then we're going to continue with Ray talking about some of his expeditions and the fact that this is not somebody who started training from the time he was 5 years old to get here. He's, I would say, fairly new to running and suddenly blossomed into this world-class athlete. Stay with us. This is National Geographic Weekend. I'm Boyd Mattson. Back in a moment with more tales of exhaustive adventures.